Nahum Schifrin understands the seduction of the ocean. Even when he was a boy growing up in Southern California, Schifrin found it hard to resist the lure of the surfing life. And today, he's made a name for himself as the surfing rabbi. That is also the name of his autobiography, which tells the story of his journey from beach bum to surfing mystic. He told Dan Strange Champs that his life as a surfer started the day he ran away from home to check out the surfing scene at Malibu.
There used to be a picket fence, by the way, where the Coast Highway now stands. And they used to lean the Blue Sharks right up against that picket fence. And for a buck, you could rent a board for a day. Hmm. I rented a board, and I totally almost destroyed myself on the rocks. And, of course, Mickey Dora, the great Mr. Malibu, ran me over and smacked me around. And I was scared, but years later, when I found out who Mr. Malibu was, I felt it was an honor, you know, to have been massacred by the greatest surfer of our generation. So, but it was every day after that was just an adventure. I'm still as excited as I am now as I was back then. And I'm so lucky to be a surfer, really.
What was it you loved so much about surfing in those early days? I mean, was it the ocean itself, the waves, how different each wave is? Was it the actual physical, you know, what you were doing?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a lot of things. I think when you're 12 years old and, you know, you're watching a lot of people dropping acid and taking psilocybin and, you know, pigs off campus, power to the people. It was a very tough age to be a young person. That's what I always tell people about the 60s. If you didn't really have any direction or focus, it was very difficult and very easy to get, you know, hooked on drugs and all kinds of dysfunctional behavior. So I think it was the ambiance, the beauty, the power, and the fact that we're rebels. You know, of course, everybody in the 60s is a rebel. And my cause was I wanted to be a surfer. And I just thought that being a surfer was the greatest statement that one could make during that time.
At your best, at your peak, what could you do?
I would say the Banzai Pipeline. The Banzai Pipeline is about a mile south of Sunset Beach on the north shore of Oahu, Honolulu being the south shore. There's a reef that's about, usually the big waves break pretty far out because Hawaii is surrounded by coral reefs. But in this case, there's a reef that's like kind of like a flat reef. It's not jagged so much when it hits the wave. It's just it's like 50 yards offshore. And the ocean just comes up all of a sudden on this very shallow reef. And it creates a thing where the wave just throws over and out. It just has nowhere to go. All the energy, just imagine it just goes ahead of itself. The wave throws out like 10 or 15 feet out, creating a hollow cavern. Kind of.
That's the famous pipe.
Yeah, the pipe. I mean, you could drive a truck through one of these ways and the truck wouldn't even get wet. It's like being in a big cave. But the thing about it is that in order for that wave to form, it has to be extremely quick. And it's a very, very steep drop. It's not like a normal wave. You have about a half a second to get to the bottom of the wave. And if you're on top of it or in the middle of it, then you'll get pitched out. You know what I'm saying? Forward with the wave on top of the reef. So it's a horrific, you know, experience if you've ever wiped out there, which I have many times.
What happens but when you wipe out?
Well, maybe you'll die, maybe you won't. You know, it's usually you don't. I mean, you can get bounced off the reef, and if you're lucky, you won't bounce off on your head, because then, you know, you have a problem. You know, the drowning is very possible. It's just a tremendous amount of water. It's like being in the gladiator's pit with the gladiator. You're right there, and it's here, and it's right now.
And when you time it right, what does it feel like?
When you time it right, it's like nothing. It's like being in this dark room. You're going about 30 or 40 miles an hour, and you're looking out at this hole where there's light, and you're projecting yourself, speeding along, going through that cavern toward the end of the tunnel, as it were, into the light. I mean, there's nothing in this world like it. It's every surfer's dream to go to the pipeline and surf, and not many of us can make it, and it's even fewer of us have the ability to do it.
So surfing was your first love, and it was and still is a huge part of your life. How did you then begin the journey that led you to become a Hasidic rabbi?
Oh, boy. That's a good one. You know, I'm kind of a rebellious guy. Anybody that knows me, I'm different. I walk my own walk, and I have my own tune. And Judaism was always something in the background that was just there, but, you know, nobody really in our family acknowledged it, and it was kind of poo-pooed. And also, you know, we don't really believe in it after all, because it's not, you know, relevant to our times. And after a while, I thought, well, what is it really? And I mean, everybody's telling me that there's a Sabbath, but they don't really hold by it and this and that. And I wanted to find out what it is. I mean, like everything I did in my life, I wanted to find out for myself. I wanted it to be an adventure for me. So what better thing to do is when a surfer wants to have an adventure, he packs up, he leaves, Tempe, Arizona, and takes a plane to the North Shore of Oahu. That's the real surf journey. So to me, the journey to find out who I was, I needed to sell my car and my furniture and leave my place up in Santa Barbara and go to Jerusalem to check into a seminary where everybody wears black hats, black shoes, black clothes, and I'm there with my Aloha t-shirt. You know? I mean, hello, you're in this stifling, there's no windows, there's no sun, there's no, you know, trade winds. It's just books.
How did the Hasidim regard surfing?
They don't know what it is. They don't know how to swim. So I felt great about it because nobody could really, you know, be judgmental toward me. They just saw me as a freak from California. And anybody, of course, from the left coast, in their mind, is not normal anyway. So I just said, okay, I'm not normal, but I'm just going to sit here and see what's going on. And in that spirit, I was very lucky to have, again, checked myself in with some very, very knowledgeable, very pious teachers who worked with me and straightened me out and got rid of my California attitude.
But was it possible to study Talmud and keep surfing at the same time?
No, it wasn't. I didn't surf. There's no surf because there's no waves in Jerusalem, right? So unless a tsunami makes it up there, I guess. So basically I didn't have that, it's called a Yetzer Hara, it's a evil inclination, as it were. I didn't have this, you know, this pressing need all the time because, you know, out of sight, out of mind. Plus, I'd been surfing my whole life up to that point for about 25 years. So I figured, you know what, I'll just bite the bullet. And after a while, you get into a certain, I guess, you know, it's like somebody being in a rock quarry, breaking rocks. After a while, you know, you forget about the pain. Your mind goes on automatic pilot and you just keep breaking rocks, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't that terrible, actually. It was a wonderful experience, very uplifting, and I learned about my heritage. And actually, I'm really glad I did it because a lot of young Jewish kids don't really have the opportunity to really, truly explore their heritage and find out what Judaism is all about. And it really, you do have to go on that voyage. You do have to cut yourself off in a way. I mean, there's a Talmudic statement that says that if you really want to learn, you've got to exile yourself. And you really do. It's just like, it's kind of like this going to Tibet to visit a monk. You've got to just divest yourself of whatever it is that you've got in your mind or on your body and take on a totally new, you know, attitude.
When did you begin to connect in your mind surfing with God, with mysticism?
It was always there, Anne. From the day I surfed, I knew there was something very, very supernatural about this. I mean, here you are, you're harnessing a wave that came from 5,000 to 10,000 miles away, the epicenter of these tremendous storms. And we're at the very tail end of this devolution, as it were, of power and of might. And we're harnessing it, and we're connecting ourselves with the primordial forces, I like to say, of the creation itself. That same water, the same molecules in that wave were there when the oceans were created in the first day of creation. And so the power and the might of the ocean is and was the same. It's kind of like being a participant in the act of creation. I didn't know how to, you know, articulate that, obviously. And till this day, it's a little bit abstract. But I always felt there was some power that we can't feel, we can't touch, that's part of the ocean that, you know, resonated with me for years and years and years. And then when I started studying Kabbalah and mysticism, I understood that the ocean is a force it's there for us to tap into, it's there for us to acknowledge, it's there for us to give thanks to the Creator for creating such an amazing, magnificent act of creation.
What do you think about when you're surfing, like when you're waiting for a wave, just hanging out on your surfboard?
How many more minutes before my wife calls my cell phone wondering where I am? That's one of the thoughts. Actually, you know, it's just so much fun. I mean, when I see in our schools the tremendous dysfunction with kids, psychologists come in, sociologists come in, try to get them to, you know, not commit suicide, God forbid, or, you know, dysfunctional or aggressive or violent behavior. And I just, such a bunch of crap. I can't believe it's so simple. Just give the kid a board and let him paddle out. And I've done this over and over and over with kids, high school kids, college kids, my own kids. It just, it's the equalizer. It's the thing that gives us the edge to deal with the stress and strain and pressures of family life, of modern life. I just can't believe that we don't have everybody in the world, you know, with their own surfboard.
Nahum Shifrin's the author of Surfing Rabbi. He spoke with N. Strange Chimps.